Indeed it is. Welcome along to a very special Phoenix 98 FM 123 today with me, Mike Jones, and my very special guest. I'm delighted to welcome, I'm just trying to work out how many times Louise has been my guest over the years, but a fair few times. Good afternoon. Happy New Year to you.
Good afternoon. Happy New Year to you too.
Right. There's so much stuff I need to ask you. Let's start. I want to come on to Dunton Hills Garden Village in a moment, but this is all part of the Brentwood plan for 2017. I looked at the document today. There's quite a few interesting... It's the plan for sort of 2016, 2017, mm-hmm. really, and probably beyond. Mainly housing, but talking about new shops, new enterprise parks as well. A couple that I've just picked out, from apart from Dunton Village, when they widened the... Are you hoping to go into there? And is this really going to happen?
That's right. It's an area which you rightly say was cleared for the widening of the... the area is earmarked as an enterprise park, and the intention is that that will be the home of some new businesses within the borough. You were right as well at the beginning when you spoke about the local development plan, and it's about creating space not just for homes but for business as well, because it needs to be sustainable, and clearly if we're going to be increasing the number of people who are living here, they need to have jobs to go to. So the enterprise park, given its location, it's obviously in a prime spot. We're earmarking to deliver part of those new jobs, or some of those new jobs. So in terms of what will go on there, it's all very early days. And this is the case with the whole of the LDP, in as much there's no planning application that's come in as such. It's about earmarking, identifying sites which would be acceptable for development, and where, whether that's for residential or for commercial, a full planning application would have to follow.
See, that seems like an excellent site. It's a brownfield site, really, isn't it? And it got absolute perfect access onto the motorways and the 127, haven't you? For any small business, you know, we're talking probably smaller businesses, you know, vans rather than lorries, they're ideally onto the M25.
It is very well located, as you say, between the M25 and the 127, but it also has space there. And one of the things which we obviously struggle for in Brentwood, because we are currently 88% greenbelt, so finding space for new homes and new businesses is very difficult. I would add that even if everything within the draft LDP does go forward, the borough will still be 87% greenbelt. So we're very much protecting the openness and the green environment of the borough. But there is also the reality of having to find space, as I say, not just for the homes, but for the businesses. So that site, given that it has already been used for vehicles as part of the widening project, it does seem to make sense that
it does,
we would
it does.
Look to extend that further.
Absolutely. A couple I'm confused about. Baytree Centre says there's going to be... it looks like there are going to be new homes there. Is there... radical plans for the Baytree Centre? Are you knocking it down and starting again, or is it just an extension? Or
the Baytree Centre isn't owned by the council, so yeah. It's in terms of what could go on there. Again, this is just about earmarking what could go on the site rather than having any detailed application. We're also running, as I'm sure you're aware, the Town Centre project, which looks at not just the William Hunter Way but also the High Street and the Baytree Centre as well, how we can make the Town Centre more future-proof, and how we can make it deliver for more people, because I think it's a bit unbalanced at the moment in terms of who it appeals to. So the Baytree Centre and the future of that would be part of that scheme as well. But the area which we currently know for the shops is still earmarked for commercial space. There may be an opportunity to build above it, but certainly that area is earmarked for commercial space for that to continue.
They're a fickle thing, aren't they, shopping centres? I mean, Grey's had the problem with the Queensgate Centre. They built this lovely new shopping centre, nobody went. It's just trends, I suppose, and you know, it depends exactly. And it's all about location. You know, is it on the? Do you need, if you're going from A to B, do you need to go through the shopping centre, or do you just go past it? You know, it's such a fickle subject. William Hunter Way. We've been talking about William Hunter Way for years, haven't we? Shops on the car park site.
Well, again, you're right. We have been talking about it for some time. And I think what's key is that we come up with a plan that's deliverable. And part of that is looking at it in conjunction with the rest of the town centres, so as I say, the High Street and also the Baytree Centre. So I guess linking your last two points, really, the Baytree Centre has in many cases been a bit of a white elephant for some time. There's certainly one unit that I'm aware of in there, which I don't think's ever been full since been the Baytree Centre, and certainly we haven't seen it full. So there's something that's not working there. you know, if we come over the other side of the high street and you look at William Hunter Way, that is a site which has been earmarked for development for some time. It was only ever supposed to be a temporary car park. I know we've all come to sort of know it as a car park now, but it was only ever temporary. So in terms of what we can put on there, we need to make sure that it is not only appealing to what people want, but that from a commercial point of view, that it can work. And we've been doing some work with the Design Council. They're a national outfit who look at the design, as you'd expect, but the heritage of the borough. We've obviously got the chapel ruins in the heart of the high street to make the most of what Brentwood's history is about, but also, as I say, to make sure that the high street and the town centre as a whole can work for the future. Now, one of the issues that we've had, I mentioned this about the Enterprise Park, it's the same case for retail, that we don't have any larger units, so it makes it very difficult to attract some of these key anchor stores. So what we've done is, through working with the Design Council, is to look at what we want it to look like and what we want to take into consideration. And we're now working with some consultants who bring the more commercial aspect to it. So it's all well and good asking for A, but can that work and is it sustainable in reality? So through that process, we will be able to come up with a proposal, which we will then obviously be looking to consult the public on, to see if that meets the desires of local people. So we've got an opportunity there to obviously bring something forward that can give a larger unit to the town centre, but also mindful of the fact that we do need to keep some of that space for parking.
Which exactly, that is the obvious question. You know, if you improve the infrastructure of the whole of the high street with better, bigger shops, etc., and you attract more people in, where's everybody going to park? You know, because at the moment you've got both sides, you've got to pay to park, haven't you, in Brentwood, obviously, in the multi-storey or William Hunter Way at the moment. William Hunter Way at the moment as well is very, very crowded. Are there any proposals to change some of the infrastructure around William Hunter Way so traffic doesn't get snarled?
Well, that's why it's so important to look at the town centre as a whole. And I think just looking at William Hunter Way as the current car park and saying, well, what can we build on there, isn't full enough. It doesn't give you the comprehensive approach to the whole of the town centre. At the end of the day, whatever goes on there, people are going to need to access it. No one wants to sit in their car queuing for ages. So it's about making sure that we have got proposals in place that people can arrive at, be that by car, by bus, by train, and looking at the town centre in its entirety, so that we have a nice mix of the shops that people want, which will bring the footfall in. And if that's a mixture of the national names and the chains and also more local independent shops, then that's a win-win for everybody. But it's also making sure that, as you say, people can park their cars and can actually access the places they want to go to.
Can we get rid of that silly width restriction, please, in Western Road? You know the one I mean?
I do.
I hate it. It's with 1-2-3. It's just coming up to quarter past one. Harry's Challenge, incidentally, will be in the second hour of the programme. It's a good one today as well. I'm chatting to Louise McKinley from the Brentwood Council this morning. Lots and lots and lots of things to talk about. If you want to join us, if you've got a question, then please just tweet us at Phoenix FM and I'll try and read your question out. Let's get on to this huge subject then of Dunton Hills Garden Village. My first question is, I've been doing a lot of research this morning. I can't find out exactly where it is confirmed this is going to be. Can you explain to me where this 2,500 home site is?
It's to the south of the borough. It's very difficult to explain it without a map because it's obviously open green fields at the moment.
Right.
But it is quite close to the Basildon border, the border with the Basildon district starts. And the plan, as you say, is for 2,500 homes to go on there. So it's the creation of a new village.
So this is by Halfway House. If you're going down the 127 towards South End, just after the 127, just after Halfway House on your right hand side, or if you turn down the 128 on your left hand side, where Dunton Farm is now and Dunton Golf Course. Does that mean the end of the golf course?
In between, effectively, if you look at a map, in between West Horndon and Basildon.
So is that both sides of the 128? A little bit towards West Horndon, or
I know it's definitely east from West Horndon.
Further away, so it's to the east of the 128. So probably on the Dunton Hills Golf Course area at the moment. Because that's where that sits.
Right, I don't know the golf course.
Okay, well, there is a golf course there, I assure you. I've played very badly there on lots of occasions. It's the largest development of a greenbelt ever in the country to be undertaken. 237 acres. Why do we need it?
Well, we have to find enough space for 7,500 homes to be built over the next 20 years. As I mentioned previously, we're 88% green belt, which makes it very difficult to find the space. And we've actually only got enough brownfield site to meet about half the number that we need to find space for.
Let's just clarify on that, because you are building, this is not just about Dunton Village, because you are building or propose to build lots of houses on various sites around the whole of the borough. And some of those, you're saying, are brownfield sites?
Yes, about half of them will be on brownfield
sites.
Okay. And it's about looking at where else we can build. And the approach that we've taken is that if you look at Brentwood with the town centre at the centre, that around it are a number of villages that effectively make up the borough. So people's reason for living in Brentwood is often because they want a more rural lifestyle. So on the back of that, to try and find enough space for 7,500 homes, we've tried to maintain the environment that those people have obviously chosen to live in, whilst also making sure that we can meet our obligations in terms of finding space for new homes. So rather than just expand existing villages, we've taken the approach that we would create a new garden village. So by having that strategic allocation in the Green Belt, it means that we can A, protect the existing villages to a large degree, and B, make sure that we have the infrastructure that comes with it. Because very often when we speak to people, one of the key concerns they have, and absolutely rightly so, is, you know, well, this is all well and good, but what about the roads, the schools, the doctor's services,
absolutely,
etc.
Yeah, that's my next question here.
So by having a strategic allocation where we're identifying an area and saying that is where the number of homes are going to go, that we can then start making sure that the infrastructure comes with it. Because if you just have incremental growth, and you see this up and down the country all the time, a new estate will spring up and it might have 25, 50, 100 homes, it's not enough to generate a new school, for example.
Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
A significant investment in the roads. So it's a double win, I think, in terms of looking at this from, as I say, a more strategic point of view, because then we can make sure that we've got that infrastructure that comes with it. And indeed, with the announcement that came forward at the start of the year, where we have been accepted as one of onto the government scheme as one of the garden villages, where we'll therefore receive some money from government to start doing some work to identify.
Yeah, is that the £6 million?
That is, yeah.
But what's that six? That's not going to go very far. Where's that earmarked for? What is that for with you to do? Is that just for all the exploratory work that you need to do, or what?
It's for the exploratory work. I know there was a bit of misunderstanding at the beginning, I think, with some people who thought that the money was to be used to widen the roads and build a new school, etc. Clearly, the money that we get from that isn't going to go very far.
No.
But what it does mean is that we have some additional funding now to help support some of the more sort of detailed work that has to be done. So particularly with a focus on the A127, we know that the County Council are doing some work further up.
In South End, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's about how we can look at the needs in detail around that area. We've also got plans included in there for an all-through school, so that will take children from the start to the end of their education. And that's something which I think will be very popular, not just with the new residents there, but with people across the borough. Those living in West Horndon, if they've got the opportunity to have a new school there that they can start from, as I say, from the start of school age right the way through to 18, then that's a great opportunity. NHS services, new GP surgeries. Again, if we were talking about some of the smaller developments, and we all know the pressures that there can be on some of these services and how it's not always easy to get an appointment, that by investing in that area and making sure that we have the infrastructure that goes with it, we are in effect creating a new and sustainable community.
Yeah, it's all very, very big, isn't it? Let's talk about Basel and Council as well, because this was a joint project, wasn't it? Look, just go back on the history a little bit. Was there a motorbike in the studio just now? Could you hear that?
I did hear it.
Yeah,
yes.
Basel and Council, this was... just correct me if I'm wrong, but this was a joint project which they've now pulled away from. Am I correct in saying that?
But there was... initially, we were exploring an opportunity to create a new suburb together with them. I think they still have some houses earmarked along their side of the border, but it's not being done as a joint project anymore. That said, there is the duty to cooperate, and we are having very regular communication with the council. You obviously can't do this in isolation, and we're having those discussions with them to make sure that what we're doing and what they're planning on doing, that that we can work together where appropriate.
I think Kevin Blake, who's leader of Basildon Council, said that he thinks your side is wrong. It should be the other side of the 128, even further west away from Basildon. But that was his comment. Now, you've done a public consultation. Again, stuff I found out this morning, that 84% of people were against it, only 6% were for it, and you haven't published any of those comments so far from that public consultation. And it was only from a Freedom of Information request that that information has come out.
Well, I think the first thing to remember is that you're never going to find enough space for 7,500 homes, which everybody agrees with. I mean, that's very difficult.
No.
As I say, with a borough like Brentwood, which has such a large percentage of greenbelt, that's even more so. But it's interesting if you look at where a lot of those objections come from, and if you break that down, the majority are not Brentwood residents. So it's a difficult position
Where was the survey? Was it handed out to all Brentwood residents?
We do a survey, but there was also one that was conducted by Basildon as well.
Okay.
Now, I understand some of the concerns of the people locally there, and as I say, a lot of them that have been voiced to me very much focus around this question of infrastructure, which I think I've just addressed. But it's important to realise that in the development of this site, we are protecting the rest of the borough. And yes, I understand, obviously, those that live near it or those that live on the Basildon side will obviously have their own interests and will voice them, and that's mm-hmm. absolutely right to do so. But my responsibility is to find the right solution for Brentwood. And if we can develop a site which protects West Horndon, it protects the other villages to the north of the town, and can still deliver the much-needed homes that we need, then I think that is the right thing to do.
Some criticism I've seen leveled at you have said that you've put it so far away from Brentwood. It's not really in Brentwood. It's outside, and you've pushed it as far away as you can away from the town centre, and people won't really feel that they're living in Brentwood.
Well, I think that's an interesting point, because if you speak to the people of West Horndon, they very much feel that they are part of the borough of Brentwood, and if anyone's tried to suggest otherwise, I think they'd be quite offended by that. Now, this isn't about pushing people anywhere. It's about looking at the map, looking at the infrastructure that we have in place, the pressures that we have. As I say, half of the plans are focused on brownfield sites. That's obviously the first port of call that we would always take. But we have to find space for these additional homes. So if we're not going to compromise the villages and the green belt in the areas where people are already established, then we need to be looking elsewhere. And I think it's about having a new village. And let's remember, Basildon has its origins as a new town.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is evolution. And yes, it's right that we address some of these issues. And of course, we have to get it right to make sure, as I say, we've got the right infrastructure in place. But we can't stand still. We do have to find the space for it. And I think this is the right approach to take.
Do you think there's any chance that the C2C line that goes through there, that you've got a station at West Horndon, you've got a station at Langdon to the east, West Horndon to the left. Do you think there's a possibility you could put a station in then? Because it's going to go very, very close by. The railway line runs right past it.
Well, we will be speaking to C2C as well. We have had previous discussions with them, but it's about at what stage you can actually start taking them forward to see if there's anything concrete. So whilst it was more conceptual, shall we say, than it is now, then those discussions were quite high level.
Yeah.
But now we've obviously, we'll be shortly consulting again on the local plan ahead of submission to government. We've got the result from the start of the year where we've been accepted onto the scheme. So things are starting to be firmed up far more. And I think once, you know, we continue down that path, and once we're in a position to have more detail, that we can go back to them again and see what they'll say.
When, I know it's a very difficult question to answer this, but when do you think, if everything went and it got ticked all the right boxes, when do you think the first brick could be laid? When are we talking about?
It is a difficult one to answer because, as I say, we have to finalise the plans for submission, and then once it's with the government, we're in their hands in terms of the inspector looking at it to make a final decision. But we would certainly hope that the first phase would go in around 2020, 2025. Now, with that, and this still has to be marked out in detail, but with that has to be the first wave of infrastructure, because you can't just build 2,500 homes and put the roads and the
schools. That was my next question.
Surgery's in after. So it would be done in phases as well. It's not just taking over the site and building in one go. It would be done in stages and some of the key infrastructure coming in first.
Well, exactly. I mean, the 127 is already a disaster. It's not fit for purpose now, so it does need to be widened, strengthened, whatever. I mean, you've got 2 years delay at Gidea Park at the moment because of the Ardley Green Bridge going in, which will improve things, but that whole section every day, it's slow from Basildon all the way up to Romford, and with 2,500 more homes, that's obviously going to be even more pressure. So something's got to be done about the 127, hasn't it?
The 127 is exactly the hot spot, if you like, in terms of the road infrastructure. We shouldn't lose sight of the fact that whether it gets its own station or not, this is still going to be very close to railway lines and railway provision as well. And part of the plans will also provide for a new country park and access back into Brentwood as well. So it's not just the 127, but clearly when you look at that site, that is the main road. It's the main road in that area and the main road that would serve the new village. So that's where we would be looking at really focusing some of the studies and the work, the money that's come from government, I see as going, as being a key component to go in to help fund some of that.
There is a fly in the ointment here. There is a possibility that the new, if it happens at all, the new Thurrock Crossing, if that's the right word, there could be a huge diversion which could go and scupper your plans, because that could go very, very, very near if there's a road that comes off the M25 and goes somewhere, a fobbing way. Yeah. That could scupper it.
It could come near, and that's why we are in discussion with our partners as well, with the relevant authorities, to see what the outcome will be, but to see how that will impact on the plans. So when we do these consultations, I think this point is very important as well. When the council goes out to consultation, it's not just going out and asking residents. We're talking to all of the other partners and agencies as well, because whatever an individual may think, whether that's me, you, or anybody else, of let's build here, it's got to be deliverable and sustainable. And if you have highways, we have NHS, we have Environmental England, any of them coming back and saying that doesn't work, then we wouldn't be able to put that in the plan with any confidence that it would actually get past the inspector. So we are speaking to all of our partners in this whole process to make sure then that what goes forward has been considered by all of those different bodies and agencies that are responsible for the various aspects of building a new village.
Okay, I must ask you, what sort of housing are we talking about here? I understand you've got to provide some traveller sites or a traveller site, or so many spots for travellers as well in this proposal. How much of this will be executive housing, medium housing and social housing, if any social housing at all? Are there proposals yet for what's the breakdown of the 2,500 homes?
It's expected that around 35%, which is pretty high, will be both affordable and first-time buyer homes. So one of the concerns that I hear regularly from people, particularly those who have grown up in Brentwood, have maybe gone away and studied and come back, and are then at the stage where they want to move on and get their own place, whether that's buying or renting, is that it is too expensive for them to do so. So they end up either staying at home longer than they would like to, or they move out of the borough.
Yep.
So to have somewhere that they could actually achieve as their first step onto that ladder, I think is to be very welcomed. As I say, it's about 35% of the 2,500 homes that are going on there are expected to be for affordable homes or for first-time buyers.
And you and I haven't got a crystal ball, and we can't predict what that actual starting price will be on the lower housing. Does that mean there's going to be no council housing on that estate as well?
Well, when we talk about council housing, and that's obviously it's quite an open term, and I think it can be sort of mixed.
In old money.
The homes that the council owns, or affordable homes, key worker homes, that's another aspect that we're looking at there as well. So, if you work for any of the police force, the NHS, if you're a teacher, we're looking at what could be done around that as well. But there are various ways in which this can happen. I mean, there is a responsibility for the council to build more homes, and that's what we're looking to do, not just through the LDP, but through some of the disused garage sites. We're looking at, and we have actually already started to build new council homes in that regard. But there's also an opportunity for funding to be provided that can then help to deliver a different area, a different type of scheme elsewhere. So we're still going through the detail on that, but as I say, the 35% is for affordable and for first-time buyers.
Okay. I spoke to Gareth this morning, Gareth Barrett, leader of the Labour Party in Brentwood. Basically, he said it's a nice idea. He thinks it's a fig leaf to cover a much bigger problem, but he's got two major problems with the whole scheme. His first and his biggest problem, he thinks that he has no faith in Essex County Council delivering the infrastructure. He thinks they won't have the funds, it just won't happen.
Well, we're speaking, as I said, with all of our partners, including the County Council, and we've had meetings already, both at the member and the officer level. But what we shouldn't lose sight of as well is the developer contribution. So if we have a development, not just of this magnitude, but if you have a development, then the developer has to actually contribute through Section 106 money. Mm-hmm. And what that goes towards is the infrastructure around an area. So if a developer is building 50 new homes or 2,500 new homes, clearly the impact on the local area can it be significant to, you know, one extent or indeed to the other. And that contribution, that financial contribution, is designed to help fund some of those aspects, whether that's about improving local play areas, if you're talking about a smaller scheme, right up to something like Dunton Hills, which is going to require infrastructure, as I say, on the roads, into schools. The plans also include the creation of a new country park. None of this is going to be cheap, and none of it's going to be the responsibility of any one organisation. So the developer will clearly be making substantial profit, as you would expect of a something of this size. And part of the deal is that they have to pass some of that back on to help fund some of it. So it's not just the County Council that we'd be looking at to help fund any road changes, but the developer as well.
I think the problem you've got is that we can't see into the future, and if the housing demand carries on at the rate it's going on, you might be having this conversation again in 8 years' time once you've built your village, and then you need to expand again, and you either need to expand that village or now then infringe on the areas that you've avoided this time. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, no one's got a crystal ball, and we know that the rate of building needs to escalate significantly if we are to start coming anywhere near meeting the demand. Society's changing, people are living longer, you've got people who maybe live together and then separate. So you put all of that together,
yeah.
And the demand on housing is going to increase.
And I think work patterns change as well. A lot more people work from home than they did 30 years ago, don't they, with the internet. Everybody, you know, loads of people, well, I do, you know, it's it saves me travelling all the time.
That's
which is a major problem. You reckon that 200 new homes per year will be built once the scheme, once it's, you know, the infrastructure's in and the lands, landscaped, etc. So about 200 a year?
That's what we're being advised is feasible and realistic in terms of delivery. So from 2020 onwards, we'd expect that to start.
Gareth's other point was no guarantee. We've touched on this already, but he said there's no guarantee for the social housing. There's nothing in concrete that's written down that there will be social housing, real affordable housing for a low level.
I think we have touched on it in terms of the contribution that can come forward. There will be a requirement from the developer to provide either some more affordable housing or to provide the money for that to be created elsewhere within the borough. But as I say, it's a combination of different things. So what we're not looking to do, and I personally certainly wouldn't support, is just a whole new village that's made of big detached executive homes.
Yeah,
not what this is about.
Because there's plenty of those already, isn't there? They're going up everywhere on probably existing sites anyway. And there's lots of brand new big homes going up, isn't there?
Well, the shortage in Brentwood is on three-bed, more affordable homes. So a family home, but maybe one that isn't quite as large as some that we see across the borough. And as I say, the demand certainly for those who are looking to take that first step, be that through renting, because often the rental prices are just too high for people.
Well, this is in the news today, isn't it? The mortgages are now cheaper than renting. So why would you rent? But you have to, because you need... They're saying now in London you need £100,000 deposit. You know, my son is 19, he's got a baby, he's looking to buy his first house. Without my help, he hasn't got a chance. Mm. You know, even if the house is 30,000, it's very, very difficult.
It is very difficult.
Even though you and I have lived through 15% mortgage payment times, haven't we, in the past? No, you're probably too young.
I haven't.
No, well, I have. 15% I paid once back in the 70s. Yeah, so it's the best time to buy, to try and buy, because the mortgage rates are so low. It worries me it could go up again. And there's just not enough houses to go around. So obviously this something of this magnitude has to come along, and obviously you're going to get your protests because nobody wants it on their back door. You're not building a sewage plant, you're not building an airport. So, you know, it has to go somewhere, but people need to live.
Exactly, and it's a real balance. It's around protecting the environment in terms of why people live in Brentwood, coupled with the need for new homes. And this isn't just, you know, a number that's come down from the government, and it's not just the government saying you should build more homes. There's a real social need. There's a need here in Brentwood, right on our doorsteps. We've all got friends, family, neighbours who can all tell you a story of either themselves or somebody they know who is struggling in one format or another to find housing. So we can't just ignore this, and it's not being done in isolation. When people say, well, why aren't you building there or building here, etc., we have looked at this for a number of years with our partners, with all of the, you know, number of experts we've had. We've got external support, planning experts, legal experts, all of them looking at this, poring over it to identify what the best option is and where the best sites are to provide some very much needed housing. And as I say, I know that's sensitive in certain areas for obvious reasons. And I think there's some very understandable and legitimate questions, particularly around infrastructure. But that's where the focus has to be. It has to be on developing the right scheme that is sustainable, rather than pretending that we don't want or need it.
You know you're going to have a large group of people standing there with banners saying, save our site, aren't you? You know that's going to happen. Wherever you go, it's going to happen.
You're never going to find space for 7,500 homes and have everybody thinking that the space is the right one to choose. I accept that. But as I say, having taken a step back, looked at it in terms of what's right and what's in the best interest of the borough overall, I believe that this is a good site to choose.
Okay, give me some good news. It's going to create jobs.
It is going to create jobs.
What else is it going to do?
And not just regular jobs, but a number of apprenticeships as well. A new country park, that's also included in the scheme. So to actually have a new space that's earmarked specifically for local residents to obviously come and use, enjoy the open space.
Are we talking about enough houses for a small amount of shops? You know,
absolutely. A centre point, because I keep using this word sustainable, but it's not just the roads. We have to look and say, if these people are going to live here, what do we all do on a daily basis? You know, we get up. You need to go to the shops. You need to go to work. You need to go to school. All of that needs to be provided for. So at the heart of it, there is it's designed that there will be a village centre, as you would expect in a village. A new through school, as I mentioned earlier, from start of school through to 18. Some new NHS services as well. All of that is proposed to be included in the plan.
Okay, you mentioned NHS services there. I mean, another big concern is Basildon is full. I'm talking about Basildon Hospital. Queen's in Romford, full. That's the only way. It's either left or right. You're putting an even more strain on one of those hospitals, probably Basildon, which is fit to burst, isn't it, at the moment? You know, there must be some sort of funding for them. They must give them a couple more doctors or something to cut. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, it is packed now, isn't it?
And that's one of the reasons that we're talking to our partners, including the NHS. So it's delivery of service right from, you know, GP upwards. There are some opportunities for there to be some outreach work as well from the hospitals. We've obviously got the community hospital in the centre of Brentwood, but it's looking at all of the different ways in which health services can be delivered and making sure that it's future-proof. And it's not just Dunton Hills that's going to impact on this. We've got, as I say, 7,500 homes for Brentwood, and whether we're talking about people living in the new village or living in the town centre, they are going to be accessing these services as well. You've got the same requirement for Basildon and for Thurrock and the neighbouring authorities. They're going to be increasing the population. So it's not just a Brentwood-centric issue, and it's not just a Dunton Hills issue. It's one which goes far wider, and that's why this so-called duty to cooperate with partnering authorities and also with our other partners in terms of the different services, the NHS and education, why it's so important that takes place.
Because it's not just 2,500 homes, it's 8,000, 9,000, 10,000 people, you know, for an average of four people move into each house. Who knows? Okay, so the timetable, you say it's difficult to say, but there's lots more planning, a lot more discussion to be had. What happens next?
There's another round of consultation which we'll be going out on shortly, which is we'll focus on a final discussion around possible other sites. So through
what are the possible other sites? Where are they?
I haven't seen the final document. Hasn't gone through through the process yet for that to be finalised. But a number of other sites, because the way the whole process started was people put forward sites that they felt would be appropriate. Now, in many cases, wouldn't be a surprise to see that's a landowner or a developer that might be suggesting somewhere. And work has been done to either discount it or include it and take it on to the next step. Throughout that process, new sites come on board continually, or in terms of coming forward. So this is a final opportunity to either discount or include a site, and that can obviously have an impact in terms of the numbers and the density on some of the other sites. So we'll be carrying that out shortly, and then it will come back to councillors for a final decision in terms of what we are intending to put forward as the proposed plan to the government. At that stage, once it's with them, it's effectively a waiting game for them to come back and say, yes, the plan can be accepted in its entirety, or they're not happy with this aspect or that aspect of it. So that's where it becomes very difficult for me to say how long that will be.
Okay. All right. I know you're limited for time. While I've got you here, very quickly, changing the subject totally. Council tax for this year, is it going up, staying where it is, going down a bit? Has Brexit ruined anything for you, or how are things? Very generally, in a minute, sum up, go.
Very generally. Well, we'll be coming out in the next few weeks with our budget plans. We have been working since we set the last budget to make sure that we're setting budgets that, again, are sustainable, not just for this year coming, but after that as well. We've got a record of keeping council tax low, and we've done that at a time when we've had 40% cuts to our grant. That said, come 18-19, we're not going to be receiving a grant from the government anymore, and it does mean that we're having to make some sizable changes, not just cost cutting, but in the way in which we operate. So we're working more closely with other authorities. We've got the town hall project, which is going to bring people into the town hall to give us an income as well. So it's about looking.
You mean renting it out to other businesses? Are there empty rooms, I take it, in there?
The town hall has been empty in terms of percentage-wise for a long time. Mm. So we are looking, and we've already got Essex County Council. They've got some services in there in terms of us running the registry office for them. We're speaking to the police. We are also talking to Job Centre Plus. They're going to be moving in. The CAB have got a pilot running there. There's a number of either public or third sector, voluntary sector organisations who will be looking to come into the town hall with us. And that means that they'll obviously be paying a rent and that we'll be saving in business rates as well. So it keeps the costs down for everyone, keeps us in the one building, and means that we've all got then more money freed up in these difficult times. So, yes, we're looking at what we're spending our money on. We'll obviously be looking at council tax and fees and charges as well, but we're also looking at income to the council through less traditional means. So it's not just about looking at, you know, increasing prices, albeit there may have to be an element of that.
I forgot to ask you, have you sold the former Fire Brigade headquarters in Hutton? Has that been sold to a developer yet?
That's the county council that owns that rather than
not
the
Not you,
the
right, okay.
Council.
Okay, final question, and this is not really to do with you. The bane of everybody's life at the moment is the Brook Street roundabout. Are you aware of anything, is anything going to happen to cure the misery that is the Brook Street roundabout?
I've not been made aware of anything, of any plans for it. No, is the short answer.
It's a simple solution. Cameras, yellow boxes, widen it, stop people being idiots, proper lane coverage. They've done it at Junction 30. You need to do it at Junction 28. Louise McKinley, thank you so much for coming today. And come back in 6 months and tell me where you are with this, and we'll bring you up to date for
Look
today.
Forward to it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye now.
On a Plate is Shen.